always enjoy our conversations with our next guest, Kevin Allen. I've been talking with him for a long time, and he's been covering hockey for a long time for USA Today, and he's on the line with us. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
At by Kevin Allen on Twitter. Give him a follow. Nice win for the Predators against the Dallas Stars, the new-look Dallas Stars. Ken Hitchcock on the bench, his second stint. Of course, no stranger to Nashville, Alexander Radulov in uniform for Dallas. He had two stints with the Predators. Both did not end very well. And, you know, just a new look, a different style. Ben Bishop in net, but the Predators came away with the 4-1 victory. Dallas, early in the season, but off to a little bit of a sluggish start. They were kind of a sexy pick in the offseason. What do you think of what you've seen out of the Stars to this point?
Well, I agree. I mean, I've really been surprised that they've sort of been a little bumpy. But, you know, I'm not too worried about it in terms of thinking it's going to be a long-term problem. I mean, even though, as you mentioned, Hitchcock has been there before, this is a new coach to these players. So there's an adjustment there. Also, when you look at it, I mean, you know, Ben Bishop's at 185. Terry Lehtinen's had, you know, two of the losses that the team has had. And, you know, Bishop's save percentage is at 932, and they're giving up about 26 shots per game. So I think the Stars are going to be all right. At some point, they're going to start scoring. I mean, they haven't scored yet. They're averaging about two goals per game. And at some point, this team's going to average three or more goals per game. So I think it'll be all right. But, you know, it's possible that we overestimated the impact of all the changes. But I like all the players that they've added. I mean, Radulov adds, as everyone in Nashville knows, a dynamic presence and handles a good, tough, hard-to-play-against center. Bishop, of course, is great in goal. And the acquisition I like best was Mark Methot, who, you know, gives him kind of a shutdown defenseman. So, you know, I never thought that the Dallas Stars were going to win the Stanley Cup, but I thought they would be better than they have started, but I still think they're going to be fine as they move forward.
Next up for the Predators in Chicago against the Blackhawks. Saturday evening, Chicago suffered their first loss in regulation as Minnesota went in there on Thursday night and got four goals in the third period and beat the Blackhawks. We know this will be the first look, Predators-Blackhawks, since the Predators swept them in the first round of the playoffs last year. It prompted many, many changes by Chicago. Obviously, they were not happy, and they were stung by that because the Predators not only swept them, they made them look bad also doing it. What do you think of what you see out of Chicago to this point early on in the year?
Well, it is really interesting. You know, if you think back to what Stan Bowman said afterward, he goes, you know, it had nothing to do with all the changes with what happened against Nashville, and I think most of us believe it had everything to do with how, you know, they looked against Nashville. Although, you know, I talked to Patrick Kane, and I think it was September, and he was saying, you know, as the Predators kept playing better and better, the sting of that loss was diminished because I think they realized that, you know, they got beat by a real good team that wasn't the same team that they had seen sort of in the regular season. But I think we were all expecting the Blackhawks to take a half step backwards. But, you know, you got to give Stan Bowman credit. I mean, he's a bit of a miracle worker when it comes to sort of reconfiguring his roster. And, you know, they're getting improved play out of a lot of guys. I know Schmaltz is injured now, but, you know, he was a guy. Ryan Hartman's another guy that I think has stepped up for him. You know, Saad, I think, will help, you know, Jonathan Toews a little bit. And, you know, their defense on paper is not nearly as strong as it's been traditionally in Chicago. But, you know, Quenneville always seems to find a way to get that defense to crank it up a little bit. And though their last game was not indicative, that team, to me, it's proven itself, at least in the short run, to be a little better than we expected.
What about the Predators, their look the first four games? Nice homestand, beating the Flyers and the Stars, picking up 4 points there. You had Samuel Girard playing two NHL games, getting his first NHL goal on Thursday night. Also had an assist in the win. Philip Forsberg off to a very good start already, four goals. He didn't have any goals in the month of October last year. You've got Scott Hartnell, speaking of guys with a couple stints, back for his second stint with the Predators, off to a really good start. What do you see out of Nashville to this point?
Well, I mean, I think it's absolutely crucial they get off to a good start because, you know, we all know, you know, how hard it was when they didn't play well at the start of last season. And, you know, Forsberg's goal drought, I think, was sort of indicative of how the whole team, you know, was playing. And, you know, it's pretty clear to me that last year's run to the final, you know, would have a lasting effect. And by that, I mean, I think confidence was gained, you know, belief that they have more than enough to get it done. And I think they just feel like they need, you know, a break here and a break there. And if they play at a high level, you know, they could get back to the final. And, you know, you can see that in starting out. And, you know, what I like about the Gerrard situation is, you know, it just goes to show you that the Nashville tradition of having players waiting in the wings to fill in to, you know, draft well is still in place. You know, they seem to always find a guy in the draft that's ready to step in. Like, he's been pretty impressive when I've watched, at least on television. So, you know, it's I like this Nashville team. You know, it's hard to get back to the final, and you need breaks, and there's a lot more luck involved than people want to realize. But, you know, you got to start out with a team capable of going all the way, and the Predators are that, to be sure.
Kevin Allen is with us talking hockey from USA Today. And, Kevin, just the other day, one of your recent pieces is about young up-and-coming players. It's interesting when you talk to hockey people. I think in a perfect world, other than the absolute elite no-brainers like a Connor McDavid, the trend, at least the way I see it, you love to wait a couple years if you have enough depth and have those guys debut at 21 or 22 rather than 19 or 20. But it's unique with Gerrard because of the situation they're in with the injury to Ryan Ellis, and they have that 9-game evaluation period where they have to make a decision. So I think it's fair to say in a perfect world they wouldn't want to have to play him this year, but he's making it tough.
Well, and that's what you want. I mean, you know, I've had general managers that tell me that many times through the years, is that they love the players that make it hard on them, that, you know, to make, you know, decisions. And, you know, there are players who, you know, Ray Shiro, I had him on my podcast yesterday, and he was telling me that, you know, his feeling about running a team is that you need one surprise in training camp every year to keep your roster fresh. And they have the Jesper Bratt, who has come out of nowhere, a sixth-round pick, to make the team and suddenly become their leading scorer. And, you know, I think that's what sort of makes the league exciting, and I also think it energizes the team when you have players to do that. So I think as much as everybody knows that it's best if you're not a premium prospect to serve an apprenticeship in the minor league, they really relish when one comes along and says, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I want to launch right now, and I'm good enough at a young age. So, you know, if he makes it tough on David Poile, although I would say historically, you know, we've seen David Poile not get too caught up in emotion and make, you know, the logical decision as opposed to an emotional one.
The Colorado Avalanche come in to Nashville on Tuesday. They're off to a nice little start, and one of the stories, and you wrote about it a little bit, is the resurgence of Nail Yakupov. Once upon a time, the first pick in the draft, he's still only 24, but he just hasn't been able to connect the dots and make it work anywhere he's been so far. So what are you hearing out of Colorado as to why he's off to such a good start?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's not like he hasn't had a fresh start after leaving Edmonton. He got another chance, but, you know, the chemistry between him and Duchesne has been pretty good, and I think they gave him a clean slate. I think they said, look, you know, what happened before? You know, you're just starting new. You're just, to us, you're just another prospect to, you know, come in and prove yourself. And, you know, he's always had the skill. But, you know, the sustainability of the production level has been an issue. You know, the effort, the constant battling, you know, they didn't always see that from him. And I think this season, you know, he's 24 now, and he's been in the league well over 200 games, and it hasn't gone well for him. I mean, you know, as I said in my piece, he's been, you know, minus in the 80s. This year he's a plus player. He's suddenly looks very dangerous out there. He's getting scoring chances, and, you know, sometimes it takes defensemen sometimes at 23 or 24. We expect forwards to do it a lot earlier. And maybe he's just like a defenseman. You know, it just took him longer to sort of learn the position.
What's your theory as teams continue to normalize, adapt to the rule changes and the points of emphasis on slashing and such? We talk to Hal Gill all the time. He says, you watch. They'll figure out a way to defend. But I know the league would still like to the end result to be a little bit more offense, opportunities for lead changes and drama. We certainly saw a crazy game on Tuesday night where Nashville was up 3-0, down 5-3, and 1-6-5. I'm sure at the league office there was applause there somewhere saying this is the kind of drama that we're looking for. So do you think scoring will end up being a little bit ahead?
I do. I mean, I hate to go against Hal Gill, who I respect a lot, but I think it's hard to defend. And, you know, he would know better than I. He was an NHL player. But I think it's hard to defend when you've grown up your whole life using your stick, you know, as part of your weapon.
Oh, and he's made that point many a times. Right now he's feeling for some of these defensemen trying to hang, you know, trying to defend these speedsters that are out there just blowing around the corner.
Yeah, well, what I think Hal's right in this regard. I think there will be greater emphasis on the gaps and the positioning because, you know, you could cheat a little bit and then use that stick to help you get away with it. You know, so if you, you know, if the guy had a half step on you, a little tug here, a little tug there, we've all seen it. And it's now it's called as a slash. So, you know, I think players will adjust. I mean, we've already seen it. I mean, I've watched the games now where you see players that, you know, maybe before would have taken a chance of thinking, well, I can't really take that, you know, chance because the, you know, the guy is, you know, going to get by me. And you know, the guys without the sticks on them now are flying. So, you know, I think there's going to be an increase. I don't think it'll be major, though. I mean, these defensemen are so mobile now, and their ability to recover. You know, if you look back 30 years, like one of the big differences in the game is the recovery factor. You know, you can be caught in old days. You were caught flat-footed. The guy was in on a breakaway. Now I've seen guys that look like they're caught, and then suddenly they pivot and they're there. They're right on the guy. So, you know, I think there'll be a slight increase. I don't think it'll be major, but it'll be enough that maybe, you know, we'll see a few more goals and have a few more games where we have exciting play.
Last one, real quick, Kevin. We've had now a couple of examples of the double whammy that can happen if you challenge the offside. And you don't get it. We saw it right here in Nashville on Tuesday. We saw it last night in Chicago where I thought the Blackhawks were right to challenge. But not only did they lose the challenge, the Wild scored on the ensuing power play. So do you think this is a good thing?
I do. I do. I like it. I mean, I you know, to me, you know, you better be sure if you're going to do it. And, you know, the reason it's in the game is to get it right. And I think – it was never intended to be to take a flyer, you know, to say, well, I'm just going to do it because, you know, it's an important goal and we'll see. You know, that's not what that rule was intended. The rule was intended to catch the obvious things that have a method to do that. So, you know, I think this is in the spirit of that idea. You know, we want to get the obvious things, but we don't want it to be used as, you know, just willy-nilly as if you know, it's the last resort. And so now there's a penalty if you're going to do that, and it makes people think. And, you know, the borderline calls, it's going to become some of the drama of the game now. You know, if it's really close, are you going to go for it? You know, in a big playoff game, it'll be a tough decision. We'll all have to write about it and talk about it and analyze it. So I like the decision to go this way.
Good stuff as always, Kevin. Good to talk to you. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again down the road.
See you later. Bye-bye.
All right, Kevin Allen, USA Today, talking hockey with him at @ByKevinAllen on Twitter. Fourth and final hour, we kick it off with Pick 6. That's next.